Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm excited today. I'm excited. And here's the reason. Living in Benton Harbor is something different. You would have to live here to understand it. Probably last week I was talking about the pastor that beat up the lady. And the church condoned it. That's correct. The church condoned the beating up of a woman. They went so far to lie to the police that this woman broke into the church. Now, she has spent a lot of her money in the church, giving money, doing different things. But yet this guy, Carlton Lynch, he's known down in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for pretty much the same thing, but we'll get to that later. But this guy and his deacons had the nerve to tell the police that this woman broke into the church. Who in their right mind will believe something like that? Only here in Benton Harbor. But it was the township police that actually filed the complaint and recommended that the woman who was beat to a pulp, who broke her hand, she had to have an operation on her shoulder. This man beat this woman down. He beat her and beat her and beat her. That's exactly what he did. And nothing. The police came to the conclusion on the deacons and the people that was at the church that she had broke into the church, which make no sense. She was supposed to have a meeting there with the board members. She was supposed to have a meeting at the church with the board members. And he lured her into the church, locked the door, and beat her. And you actually have people condoning this. Actually have people saying that this is all right. There's more to the story. Yeah, there is more to the story. This guy got a history all the way from Fort Wayne, Indiana. There's about 6-7 PPOs been placed on this guy. He was barred from the church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was barred from the church. They put a PPO on him. The church, I never heard this before. Maybe somebody out there can help me understand this. The church put a PPO on the pastor of the church. He's a hood. He's a hood rat. Pilgrim Rest was one of the finest churches in Benton Harbor under Reverend Berry. Reverend Emery Berry. His son placed something on Facebook that you need to look at. His name is Emery Berry II. He said the people should stop clowning. In so many words, I'm paraphrasing what he's saying. They should stop clowning and stop trying to cover up for this man. He said that. That's not from me. So that way you'll know. It's not coming from Reverend Pinckney. This is coming from Emery Berry. People are afraid to say something. He don't scare me, though. I'm going to tell you straight up. He don't scare me. He is who he is. He's a thug. The church, all they need now, it's no longer it's God's house anymore. It's the devil's den. And he have his devil's disciples. That's what they are. They're disciples of the devil, you see. It's unfortunate, though, when you think about God. You know, you put God first, you know, all these years, you know, one of the finest churches in the city of Benton Harbor is no longer a church. It's the devil's den. All they need to do now is start selling alcohol. That's it. But here's what happened just recently. There was a church, another church here, straight Gateway Church. The pastor is lame. He was going with all the women in the church, too. He had 4 or 5 women, you know, in the church. But here's the difference. The deacon board ushered this pastor out of the church, ushered him out of the church. And guess what he did? He went to his buddy Lynch, the devil's den. He went to the devil's den. This guy, Carl Lynch, called the emergency meeting. And they decided that they was going to rent out another one of the churches that Emory Berry had put together to him. Now, this guy hasn't built nothing. 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 He hasn't built. He ain't capable. Matter of fact, he's on his last leg. He don't pay rent anywhere. Matter of fact, the church had to come in and pay his rent at the Vincent Building here in Benton Harbor. Never had nothing in his life. But what he had done, this guy named Lane, Pastor Lane, I wouldn't call him no pastor no more, because anytime you break God's rule, and he got the sweetest wife you ever want to meet, and unfortunately, he was going with all the women in the church too, just like Lynch. Lynch go with everybody in church. And the reason I bring this up is because we got a lot of church folks listening. Last week, we had 209,000 people listening to our show. 209,000 people from around the world listening to our show. And I must have got about at least 80, 90 emails about this guy beating up on this woman. They wants to come here. One of the guys said, I want him to beat up on me. I said, oh, slow your roll, big fella. Ain't no sense in coming here, you know, and getting yourself arrested. Because he's going to try to run and hide. He know what to do to keep himself from getting arrested. But it's unfortunate. This guy went out, went to his buddy, who do the same thing he do, and rented one of the churches that Reverend Berry had built, and now he's in that church. He took some of the members with him. And I tell you, you know, some of these people here, it's almost disgusting. I would never believe in a million years that people act like this. You couldn't even pay me. Everybody hung out with this guy named Carlton Lynch. And remember that name. Go on the internet and look him up. Go on the internet and see what he does. We got a stack of information about him that's almost ridiculous. But yet and still, one of the finest churches in the city of Benton Harbor, which is no longer one of the finest churches, trust me, it's not, went out and hired this guy. Actually went out and hired this guy. This guy, this sleazeball, gutter rat. He a gutter rat. Beat up on women. Someone who beat up on a woman. And beat her bad. Why would you just slaughter her. Slaughter her. All because you can. Your day is coming, brother. Your day is coming. It's just a matter of time. You see? Because people on this show going to ride here and see you personally. He stayed at the Vincent Building in the church. Well, that's not a church. The Devil's Den. It's located on Main Street. It goes under the name of Pilgrim Rest. So those of you who are out there, you can always catch him out there. You catch him walking, but he don't walk too far. He don't go too far from out there because even now there are people looking for him. But I tell you this. I never, ever want to hear about a man beating up a woman. I will not accept that for any reason. Because not the way he beat this woman and took her $15,000. She had given him $15,000 for this building. And he's claiming she didn't give him a dime. But she has the proof. His poor church members. He's taking them all to hell with him. I can't put nobody in heaven. I can't put nobody in hell. But I tell you, if you're not doing what a godly thing, you're on your way to hell. It's unfortunate. And the pastor's here. they won't call this guy out. I'm with them. If they want to go over there and visit him, I'll go with them and deal with this guy. But we should never, ever, ever beat up on a woman. It just affects me, you know. And that's the only thing that actually sends me into action, you know. And then you got the deacon board or the church member lying to the police office to keep you from getting arrested. They arrested the girl. Look, he beat up the woman, beat her bad, broke her hand, dislocated her shoulder. She had to have a surgery on her shoulder, and she gets arrested. The police fell for the banana and the tailpipe trick. They fell for it. And I hate to go even start my show like this, but I mean, it's just that the people around the world need to know about this guy, Carlton Lynch. They need to know who he is, because once they kick him out of Pilgrim Rest, he's going to be trying to find another place that he can take advantage of the people. He's going to be doing that. So you need to be prepared for this slime ball. You need to be prepared for this slime ball. Straight up slime ball. Gutter rat. Can't pay his rent. And here's the bad part. He got all them women in the church. Man, if you saw him, you'll run. You run. You wouldn't go near him. You looked in that face, you wouldn't want him to touch you. But he actually has women. Women think they're going to get closer to God. He's not a godly person. He's the devil. He's the devil disciple. And it's unfortunate, you know. We have to band together to stop this guy. My friends from all around the country, the world, we have to band together to stop this guy. Because it's almost ridiculous what he have done here in the city of Benton Harbor in a couple of years. He was about to get evicted from the Vincent building where he was living at because he hadn't paid rent, because he'll never pay rent. I can't tell you what he's doing with the money. I can't tell you that. But whatever he's doing, he needs to start paying rent. My understanding is that the church is now paying his rent. But I'm going to tune in with my guests. I know that I've been talking a lot, and I normally don't like to talk this much, but this irks me to see this guy take advantage of a woman and beat her up, take her money, and she gets arrested. She gets arrested. But let me bring in my first guest. My first guest is the one and only Marcina Cole from beautiful Detroit. My friend, Marcina Cole.
Hello.
Are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, I am, Reverend Feeney. Happy birthday to you and happy anniversary to you and your wife. And
thank you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Do that mean that the gift is on the way?
I did speak to you about that earlier. It
yes,
will be
you
on
did.
Way, you know, due to the situation at the post office, it takes
uh-huh.
a little longer. Okay.
Oh, believe,
so you get it around 2 weeks from now.
Well, as long as I get it, you know, I can't be mad. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that. Let me ask you a question. Before you get into
yes.
what you want to talk about.
Okay.
How do you feel? I can't call this guy a pastor. I'm gonna call him the devil's disciple. That's what I'm gonna do. How do you feel about this guy beating up a woman? I mean, I'm not talking about an ordinary beating. I'm talking about a real, real beating. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? Because I know you ain't gonna go for it.
No, I won't go for it. I didn't go for it in the past, and I know I wouldn't go for it in the present. But it's unfortunate, Reverend Payne, somebody so-called a man of God to be abusing women, physically abusing a person, assaulting them, serious injuries that the woman has sustained due to the pastor at the church. I think the church should be shut down. I think that there should be some accountability with the law enforcement for justice for this woman, and that they need to arrest this man. They should have done it before, you know, charge him. And the church needs to shut down. Lock it
Absolutely.
Up, padlock him, send him back to wherever in Texas, in the city, over there, the township of Benton Harbor, they shouldn't tolerate this type of abusive behavior. And unfortunately, it's across the country and the world where women are being physically attacked, killed. Domestic violence should not be tolerated. Church, home, wherever, it should not be tolerated. And women should take defense classes and do what they got to do to protect themselves. So if he touched certain people one time, it'll be his last time. So apparently he's done this in the past because he felt he can get away with it. Now, I don't know with the circumstances of what took place, but I know it's intolerable. Some women do blame themselves why they get physically assaulted by someone they know, and, you know, they get on a guilt trip. But it's not their fault. It's the man's fault. He's got some serious problems stemming from when he was raised or whoever raised him. It had been about a violent scenario. So there's nothing she could do about that. But there are signals when you when it comes to a person that's violent. We must understand there are men violent against women, and there are women violent against men. So it's wrong all, you know, any kind of way, you know, what gender you are or whatever. So it's the fight that's going to be continuing until there's laws in place that we won't tolerate it and have these people behind bars.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And it's obvious he had so many PPOs put on him that he know what to say and what to do when the police come, and that's how he get away. Because I would have never thought of telling the church that she broke into the church, knowing that they had a meeting at the church. My mind is not capable of coming up with something so devious. You see. And here he is, had the church. The church, I actually said this, but if I was her, I'd make them come to church, come and testify on the oath and send they bust to jail too. Because it appears to me that they lying. They know they lying. And let's put that pressure on them. Well, listen, that's enough about this guy. Why don't we talk about what you want to talk about? Because this guy, he's not worth it.
Well, I just want to say, you're talking about lying. A whole lot of folks lying, particularly Trump, not my president. He's been in office for 4 years. I don't know the figures of his lying, but I would say way up there, like 50,000 lies he has told to the public, to America. He has destroyed America, very divisive. He has to the hate. The hate was always here against people of color. The people here that did not like us was the Anglo-Saxons, and Trump fed on that. These people were under a rock, the white supremacists, white nationalists, all these different names, the Boogaloos. We can go on and on and on what's going on here in America where we're being physically attacked. We've got the KKK infiltrated in the police department. They're beating on us. They got this campaign now because election is near a few days, November the 3rd. And then the campaign that Trump is out there and talking about law and order. And then you get the police officers beating on protesters, beating on and shooting black folks. But yet the white supremacists can walk around with their assault weapons, go at the state capitals across the country, and nothing happens to them. But a black man can walk down the street with his back facing the police officer, particularly a white police. Don't matter what color, it's a systemic racism that's going on in this country. So it don't matter what color he is, but majority of the time when it comes down to it, it's the hate from these white officers. And they shoot this poor black young male to death, have no weapon. If they say he had a weapon, he had a knife, or he dropped his gun or whatever. But they don't tell those white supremacists that enter into the state cannot be allowed to bring their weapons of mass destruction to the Capitol and putting everybody at risk that work there and the legislators or whatever. So we're dealing with some real serious times, Reverend Pinckney, and because I just don't understand why Trump still got his folks that's cheering him on. Now, did they forget that these people who support Donald Trump, this ignoramus psychopath that don't believe in science, that did not put in place the mandate with COVID-19, Reverend Pinckney, Donald Trump knew about the COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, supposedly a new coronavirus strain before SARS. But anyway, he knew about it. He suppressed it. And it was going on. And by the way, it did not come from China. Okay, we know where the original originated in China. But when it came to America, it came from Europe. You understand? It came from Europe, state of Washington, New York. Okay? It came from folks traveling back and forth from Europe to America. You got folks that have the strain of the virus, and it spread it so fast that we did not get a response from Donald Trump. He was saying it was a hoax from the Democratic Party. He was saying a whole lot of things. He did not put in place a national mandate for testing, the COVID-19 testing. He did not put in place about social distancing, six or more. He did not put in place about to make sure the people in America had protection, PPE protection, the staff in the hospital that's caring for people who were sick with the COVID-19. We did not have enough masks for people across this country. So many of us, millions of us were unprotected. He did not care. The only thing that Donald Trump cared about is about the election, is winning the election, no matter how many people died from COVID-19. He didn't care about that. In the early stages of COVID-19, it was many people of color who died. And of course, he didn't care. He thought it was just a disease that killed people of color, and he was mistakenly wrong. What killed us, black people, yes, it was a large amount of black folks, particularly in the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan. Many of us, our family, friends, have died from COVID-19 because when we go to the hospital or go to the clinic, we're being ignored. We got the same symptoms as other people, other races, but we died because we did not get that treatment. So it didn't have nothing to do with, you had these folks from the medical staff saying, you know, the upsurge, the black people had gotten COVID-19 because of their diet. It had nothing to do with no stereotyping about fried chicken and greens and all that old crap. It had nothing to do with that. I know I lost loved ones, and because of the hospitals ignored the symptoms that we have and sent us back home and then died at the house. So moving forward, okay, now we got the rural areas or whatever, and they were not wearing masks because Trump's saying, you know, you don't need a mask because he was sending the wrong messages to people across the country. Then we see an upsurge of white people were getting a COVID-19, you understand, because they were having their rallies, they were having their parties at the bars and all this stuff and spreading the stuff, and then we got a whole different scenario of what's going on. So nevertheless, moving forward, there has been an increase in the cases in America. We have over 9 million cases in COVID-19. They say 250, I say 300,000 deaths. A lot of people haven't counted for the information has been suppressed thanks to Donald Trump about the real amount of cases because he was focusing on winning for another 4-year term. He don't care about folks dying, and I think he's doing it deliberately. He has blood on his hands. He's stepping on people's lives. 1,500 black folks died here in Detroit from COVID-19. He don't care about us. We got to care about us because ain't nobody else caring about us. You know, we got the system that don't care about us. And with the executive order that was taken away from Governor Whitmer about being safe with this COVID-19, and the Michigan Supreme Court ruled 4-3, you know, we're going to give it to the Michigan legislators because they threatened to sue. We threatened to sue. They don't care nothing about us. They don't care about if we saying we're going to sue them for whatever reason. The courts don't. But then when them white folks say they was going to sue, if they don't take away that executive oral power from Governor Whitmer, we going to sue. So guess what? So they passed it on to the Department of Health, and they ruled that, listen, they ruled in the favor of the Michigan legislature to open up the schools and the gyms and the bars, all this other kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And so we have a surge across, we have a surge in Michigan, we have a surge across the country where things have been lax because of the white ring extremists, concerned, they claim they're more concerned about the economy, but we already know when it comes down to the economy, if you look around, you got a lot of businesses have been shut down. You got the unemployment has risen tremendously. People have no jobs because of COVID-19 and the fact that the government in this country had ignored the plight of the people that's suffering the most. Oh, the rich people get richer and the poor get poorer. So,
Marcine, let me ask you a question. What do you think about the job that the governor Whitmer is doing? How do you feel about how she handled this COVID-19, as they call it?
I personally initially was concerned about the governor kind of aggressively, you know, not aggressively as far as the schools and wanting to open prematurely some of the bars and the restaurants initially till she realized that it wasn't a good idea because it was going back and forth, you know, are we going to open up? And then when she opened up for a hot minute, then we get a surge. So then she decided to shut it down. So, you know, and lives were being, you know, taken away. You know, people first got sick from COVID and then some did die. And so then she, you know, was more strict and she extended the dates as far as holding off about the reopening of the schools because they tried that and then with some people who had the COVID-19 that were at the school. So she had to shut it down. So she changed that. So I felt that she was getting better with that, trying to handle it as far as, you know, coming up with a consistency with the executive order because at first I felt that she was leaning on with the white supremacists because what they wanted with the threatening what they going to do if she don't reopen this and that. And, it, you know, I'm pretty sure she wasn't comfortable about that and she tried to appease them, which was across the country. The various governors did the same thing, you know, to appease these racist white folks, but it don't look good when people don't have a job and then the main breadwinner is dead because of COVID-19. Somebody got to wake up. So at first,
let me ask you another question. How do you feel that Trump have done with this virus?
Well, like I said before, his leadership has failed. He waited too long. I believe it started last year in December, myself, 2019. But they said that as far as, you know, entering the United States, January, they said it was known that the COVID was here in the United States. But the problem is Donald Trump was spreading misinformation. He didn't believe in science, and that's a big, big problem. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, this guy doesn't even know about economics. You know, he don't even know what 2 plus 2 and 3 means. It's not 4.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
Okay, so so he don't know anything, but yet he calls himself an expert, and then he had the vice president, Mike Pence, be over the task force of COVID-19. He knows nothing anyway. So they're lagging behind and wait all this time. We could have been saving lives. Then it got to the point, COVID-19 ain't waiting on you to get yourself together. It spread like wildfire at this time, and then you got to overload at the hospital where we got all these patients and needing ventilators or whatever and don't have the equipment because of Trump. Trump want to play politics. Trump's concerned about winning another 40 years. Trump did not care about COVID-19. He had his staff and his followers and said, look, you don't need no mask. You don't need to wear no mask. So the people was listening to this Trump, and he telling folks to drink bleach, and they were drinking bleach, some of them, and they died. So he was, and he said there was unproven medication for COVID-19. He's telling people we got this, that, we got a vaccination, all these lies. So I thought he's passed an F grade because you can't listen to somebody that's a delusional psychopath murderer. He's a mob boss. You cannot listen to this man is not human. This man is the devil. So I get in trouble on Facebook and they want to throw me off, but I'm just speaking truth. I know what I'm talking about because I see the devastation.
Mm-mm.
We got people that don't have food and they line up every week. And I sometimes post it. They line up early in the morning, 9 o'clock, going around the corner in Detroit, suburbs. It don't matter. People hungry. People ain't got no job. People do desperate things when they don't have stuff. But then I'm going to care about Trump because he got COVID, and he got the best of treatment when other folks didn't, and they don't have their loved ones. I said Trump got blood on his hands, and we got to recognize that. I ain't trying to hear nobody talk about Trump's family. I don't care about his family. It's the most dysfunctional family I ever seen. He is crazy. And he has no right to make decisions to put anybody on the Supreme Court, Justice, U.S. Supreme Court. Delusional. He's setting back people for over 100 years, Reverend Pinckney. It ain't just no 4 more years. It's a lifetime. It's for people who ain't even born. For the next generation and the next generation. This is what those white supremacists, politicians have done to this country. They have destroyed the country. They have destroyed the world. They have pushed us back. And the Environment Protection Agency, he's had everybody on in his departments ahead of it, and they failed. They've deliberately planted there to destroy the country and the world. Sounds really far-fetched, but it's real. That's what devils do. They don't care about that. They don't think clear. They don't realize while you trying to destroy me, you're destroying yourself, you're destroying the world, you're destroying your family and the family. So, yes, it's a ripple effect. So I'm just saying real talk, we got an increase of mental health going on with this COVID-19 pandemic. We got a lot going on, and how dare him talk about the election when all this is happening and people suffering. I've talked to folks that told me I had COVID-19, but it ain't over. When I had the COVID-19, I'm still suffering. I'm still having trouble breathing. I'm still having trouble walking. I'm still sick in my stomach, or I have problems with my taste and my smell. So people don't understand this thing has a lasting effect. And
absolutely.
We don't even know whether it's going to come back to somebody who had it. So all this stuff is going on, and we just people are ignoring the fact how real it is. Dr. Fauci has stated that be prepared for a second wave, and they tried to shut him down, they mean the Trump administration. So I'm just letting you know, it's a lot to talk about. I'm going to start writing about it, submit articles.
Right.
It's a lot going
absolutely.
On, and we probably going to get
this. Listen,
Marcy, got to get rid of it.
You got 2 minutes to tell us what you want people to know, and I got to move on. I want to give you enough time so you can go.
Well, all righty. November the 3rd, don't forget. Some people have already did the early voting. There has been voter suppression across the country, but people is not stopping people from lining up, and it's too late to mail your ballot. But they can go to their local clerk's office with, you know, and handheld it or boxes available outside the city clerk's office, city hall, police department. So I'm just hopefully people will vote possibly. It looks like high numbers. The people are coming out. Over 30-something million already, you know, submitting their ballots. So I just hope everyone realize, do your homework for the candidates. And I think I told you a little bit about Trump that he didn't tell y'all we are in a recession. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Marcina. And don't forget, be careful with these preachers beating up on these women, because that has to be we have to do. Well, I know he'll never come and beat up on you because you got something for his butt.
Well, no, I got experience of whipping somebody behind back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that about you. I ain't even concerned. I ain't concerned at all, because I know that you would teach him a lesson he'll never forget. And he's sorry.
Yeah.
He's sorry. Yes, he is. Well, listen,
yeah.
I got to let you go. I got to move on.
Okay, take care.
You have a good day. Okay. Hang around. Don't leave me now. But hey, that was Marcina Cole from beautiful Detroit. She just wanted to give everybody a heads up on different things, which she did a tremendous job, and I really appreciate her. I got to bring in my good friend Dave now. When I talk about the TIs, there are over a million TIs in this country and around the world, too, that people, you know, they don't really understand exactly what a TI is. More or less, I use the word target individual. They really don't like that term, but that's the term I know them as. And those are my friends, and I love them. And we made people aware of someone being targeted by the government. And I'm going to bring in Big Dave, and Dave going to talk about it and let us know how he's doing. Big Dave, how you doing today?
I'm fine. How about you?
Oh, I'm excellent. Let me ask you a question.
I want to make sure you can hear me, first of all. I'm fine. I'm still above board, and I thank God for it each and every day, just like you do, I'm sure.
Absolutely, no question about it. Let me talk about, how do you feel about I can't call this guy no pastor, the devil disciple beating up on a woman like this inside the church? I mean, is there anything that you could think of that could irritate you more than watching some stuff like this and the church condoning it, like it's an everyday event? But you don't have to elaborate on that, because sometimes people don't like to talk about stuff like that. But I think it's crucial that, you know, that we send out a message around the world, and all my listeners, I know I'm going to get a lot of emails, wonderful emails about what they want to do, what they should do, and all this kind of stuff. I know they're going to be sending me messages. They want to come up here and talk to this pastor. I know they are, because I did last week. Same thing. People was emailing me. They want to come deal with him. But I do not condone any man beating up on any woman. I can't stand that. But anyway, you came to talk to me about something specific. Talk to me about what you want to talk about.
Well,
Hello? I think we done lost Dave. Let me go to Miss Johnson. Okay.
Hi, Reverend Pinckney.
I'm great. How you doing today, Miss Johnson? From beautiful California, Southern California. Talk to me. How you feeling?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry I haven't been on for a couple of weeks. But, you
yes.
know, we had a march for my son, Gregory Johnson, Jr., on the
mm-hmm.
10th and of last month. And there's another one coming up on the 3rd. And then
mm-hmm.
I had a break in my electricity for a few days. And that was one of your days. So,
mm-hmm.
but I'm back. And I just want to tell you that things are moving right along. One person, there's been a page or a wall set up for my son on Instagram. And it's called Silicon Valley Scum. And they're putting the fire to some of those boys that murdered my son in 2008. in the Sigma Chi fraternity house. They're pointing out what they did and what they did not do, because this was a massive cover-up by the government, by the city government, by the police, and especially by Sigma Chi fraternity house, because he was in that house. They murdered him there. And it's been happening all over the United States. Now, this was 12 years ago this month, November 22nd of this month. But there's been hangings all over the United States of young black men. And many of them throughout history, they have labeled them suicide. And that gives them the right not to even investigate. Once they put suicide on there, that's it. They don't do anything more, you know, but make up ridiculousness. In my son's case, it was ridiculous what they said. And it was virtually impossible, because I kept telling them, and you would think they would talk to the parents first. You know, if they called themselves considering suicide, you would think they would talk to the parents. But no, I took pictures at the funeral home. Because they withheld his body, I did not get. It was actually 10 days. It was 3 days off ahead of myself, and it took me 10 days to get his body home, so I could see him for myself. And that's when I found a six-inch crack on the back of his head. And I immediately relayed this to the coroner's office. And later on, they came up with something about they did that themselves at the coroner's office. Now, isn't the coroner's office set up to find wounds?
That's right. That's their job.
On cadavers. Not to become the criminal and instigate a wound or put a wound there. And so that's absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely.
You know, that... But I guess they had to say something, because, you know, a lie needs another lie.
That's right. Say it, Ms. Johnson.
Yes. A lie, lies feed on lies. My son's clothing hamper was full of bloody T-shirts, towel, pillowcase, full of blood. He had a box that sat next to his bed, full of blood. Okay, now where does that fit in a suicide? Where'd the blood come from?
Man.
See, they lie.
Yes,
they lie. They hid everything, and they're still doing it. Black men are being lynched, and they're still calling it suicide. A lot of the police officers, just like the lady said before, a lot of these police officers are white. They're white supremacists.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
And if your butt is, if you're behind, if you've lost your black behind, and you're supporting a white supremacist, and you call yourself a black people, well, you're a fool. You're a fool, and you're going to hell with the rest
That's
of them.
That's right. Amen. Amen. And tell us a little bit about the protest that they had.
There was at least 1,000 people out there. The news always undercuts or tells lies itself. You know, you got to give it to Trump with that. He's telling the truth about that. Honey, they lie and they undercut because they're a part of the establishment. There was at least 1,000 people out there rooting for justice for Gregory Johnson Jr.
Amen.
A 20-year-old young student. A student, one minute they say we're nothing but thugs and we hang out on street corners and this and that and thus and so. And then the next minute when our children are trying to get education, my child was trying to get an education, they killed them right in the school. And it's been other murders in that same San Jose State University.
Absolutely. Wow, amazing.
They came out, and I'm going to tell you, Reverend Pinckney, someone let me know that they listen to your podcast, and that's what they get a lot of information for, where they're trying to push my son's story online, and I just want to thank you for it. I didn't know that. you know.
Yeah.
And
let me say this, we get 200,000 people listening. That don't mean they listen all on Sunday, but during the whole week over, like last week we had 200,900 people. And this week I'm expecting to have close to 300,000 if from people all over the world listening to us and spreading the word about Gregory Johnson. And you deserve to get some answers. And it's enough people out here that's listening to this show that they can help you. And that's what I'm driving at. I want them to help you. I don't want them to just listen. I want them to do more than to just listen. Like when I talk about this woman that this demon pastor beat up, I got over 100 response. People was emailing me and just saying everything. And last time you was on, I got almost 200 people saying something. How can we help? I said, well, send her money. There's a thing on there that you can send money. Right now, she needs money. How can you get her some money? Let's get you some money. Tell us how we can get you some money because they want to know.
It's GoFundMe, Justice for Gregory Johnson Jr., GoFundMe. And it's online, Vimo, Justice for Gregory Johnson Jr., on Vimo. And there are other sites that will be popping up because – We're definitely fighting the establishment. Mm-hmm. These were rich white kids, okay,
yes.
And their parents didn't want them, and the police and the mayor of San Jose and even some black people thought that it was okay for them to kill my child, but they just have to go on with their lives. They can't go.
That's how they think.
That's how they think. You know.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, they're those GoFundMe, Gregory Johnson Jr. I believe. Well, I'm not going to say that, but it's curious to me how thousands a young kid can go out there and shoot a protester dead in the head.
Mm-hmm.
A kid,
mm-hmm.
His mama transfer him across state lines from Illinois to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about? And he shoots the protester in the head. And then they raised
and one in the back.
They raised
back.
$500,000. Oh,
no,
like
they,
overnight.
They got more than that. They
yeah.
got about $1.5 million for that boy. You know, but that's
yeah.
how they do. You know,
that's how they work. Yeah,
that's exactly the way they work. And we need to start working like that. That's what makes me angry when I'm dealing with people because they don't see one thing about us. If it doesn't affect us directly. Most of the time, we don't really care. Just like this woman that
really?
Was beaten by this pastor, people don't care. There's people inside the church condoning stuff like that, lying for this pastor
yeah.
for no reason. And they think it's all right. It's not all right. Let's get some justice for Gregory Johnson. Can we do that? You people out there, all you people who email me, send her some money. Send her some money. Wow, thank you so much, Ms. Johnson. And you're welcome on this show anytime. Anytime you feel like
thank
coming
you.
On, you definitely welcome on the show. I got to bring in my good friend, Dave.
We
dropped his call, but you know that we love you, Ms. Johnson, and we're going to stand up and fight
Reverend.
For you, and we're going to make it happen. You hear me? Now, let's do this.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Johnson. Talk to you soon. All right. Yes, we need justice for Gregory Johnson. We need justice for Gregory Johnson. And this is something that we can do. Let me try Dave again. See, can we get Dave in here? Dave, is you here? Talk to me.
Well, my point is I got cut off. I don't know how it got cut off, but just the phone went right off. And then when I tried to get back on, there was, so I'm not exactly sure what happened. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I don't know. This has happened more times than not. Okay, so I'm very familiar with this. I called you back on the cell phone too. So I don't know. We only got a couple minutes here, so I don't know exactly
You got time on your hand. Just talk to me.
Okay, no. Well, listen, I want to bring up something real quick here. First off, yesterday Alex Jones was on, not yesterday, but on Friday last week, he was Alex Jones was on Joe Rogan broadcast, and they started talking about cell towers, okay, and being a part of the mind control effort, okay, and controlling U.S. citizens, okay, and not just here in the United States, but you know, as well as in other countries as well. It's across the globe, but we'll stick to the United States of America. And my point in all this is that, you know, people like Kenny and I, Kenny Rhodes and I, we've been talking about cell towers for years, okay, but they're just now coming out with it. They're just now coming out and saying that cell towers are being used to control the populace, okay. We were talking about this during the, you know, right after the Cold War. They, you know, they started using the old system. It's called the Gwen Tower Emergency Network. Okay, these were cell towers that supposedly were taken out of operation, but we find out a little later that they weren't taken out of operation. They were being used just like the cell towers that we have today. In other words, the top of the cell tower belonged to the government. Okay, you know, and they leased out the bottoms for cell phones. Okay. So I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to bring that up as I want people to understand that. Even Nelson Mandela understood that, you know, when he was incarcerated back in 61-62, and he was incarcerated for 27 years. They got him for they said that he committed sedition, okay? And part of his, you know, part of this whole thing was the fact that they had they had towers back then, okay? And he understood, you know, what they were being used for, okay, along with other things. And that's the reason why he got locked up for 27 years. But that's what I wanted to start out with. Also, when I talked to you earlier, I got to keep saying, are you there? Because my phone is acting up here. Right?
Yeah, okay. I'm here.
Okay, I was
use the term, I'm always here. I say, talk to me.
I was asked by you from the last broadcast when I was on. We were talking about, we were talking about. Well, you're saying targeted individuals. I hate that term. I prefer victimization because individuals, and it's not just a million people. We're talking a whole lot more than 1 million. We're talking, a nation that's pretty much wrapped up right now with technology. Okay. And this 5G thing that's coming on right now, with the fifth generation, along with the millions of millimeter antennas that are being set up all across the United States to boost the signal, because this is basically what a cell tower is. It boosts the signal from one tower to the next tower to the next tower. Okay, and these towers are very, very dangerous. Okay, because they're people don't understand. That they're not just cell towers; they're being manipulated, okay, with this technology. In other words, directed energy weapons, okay. And I tried to explain the last time, the basic structure the best way to describe, I think, a directed energy weapon is they say, what is a directed energy weapon? Well, I think you got to go back to the basics. I don't know about you, but I used to camp out when I was younger an awful lot. And I remember an instance where I didn't have any matches because of the fact that the matches were wet. They fell in the water. But I did have a magnifying glass, okay, and it was a sunny day. So we got some tinder together, and we put the magnifying glass against the tinder, and we watched the sunlight come in, and it's like almost like a laser, okay, on the tinder, okay, these little wood chips. And we got a fire from this magnifying glass. That's the simplest way I can describe directed energy. But what we're doing, what's happening right now, is they have hooked up and then weaponized law enforcement agencies, okay? And when they weaponize them, with laser, with microwave, with all kind of harmonics and acoustics. And I explained the last time that, you know, another way of, talking about acoustics, say, is you go back to the basics. The basics is that when you have an astronaut in outer space, some 225,000 miles away, they can monitor the astronaut's bodily functions, his heart rate, the blood pressure, through acoustics, okay? But yet they find it hard to believe that the sheriff departments and state police and a local would have technology like acoustics to do the same thing. In other words, from the East Coast to the West Coast is only like 3,000 miles, but yet we're talking 225,000 miles plus in the outer space, and they can monitor this, but they can't understand how it's possible to monitor, a U.S. citizen or whatever. They just find it so unbelievable, okay? But I also, when we talked a little earlier, you said something about family and how these technologies reflect on families. And just these few minutes that we have here, I'm just going to try to run it down the best I can. I have tons and tons and tons of information. But in 1996, there was a show, and they still have it. It's called 60 Minutes. I think most people are familiar with it. CBS runs it. But in 1996, there was this 60-minute program, and they talked about the name of the program was Shoot, Not to Kill. They talked about non-lethal weapons and when they were discussing it, they made it sound so plausible, you know what I mean? In other words, a non-lethal weapon or a less than lethal weapon, but the bottom line is most, when you think of a weapon, I don't know what you think about, but when I think of a weapon, I think of like a gun or a knife, these are weapons. So I don't know what they don't understand about weapons. They know that these weapons will kill just for the simple reason they're called a weapon, okay? And the bottom line is in 1996, CBS ran Shoot Not to Kill, and they started talking about these weapons under the clause of information technology or information weapons. And the bottom line was, or information technology, okay, we'll just use that term, or information warfare, okay? And the bottom line is that they give you half truths. They never come out with the entire truth. The bottom line is you have to research these things to really understand what this is all about. And one of the things that these technologies can do is they have a terminology called omnidirectional, okay? This omnidirectional means that they can lock into an individual now. Mark Phillips, who was a veteran of the CIA, my wife and I traveled to Charlotte, Tennessee, to stay there for a few days while he could brief me and debrief me as to my situation and to let me know exactly what's going on, okay, to the best of his knowledge. Like I said, he was a veteran of the CIA. He's very adept to the MKUltra program. He was a part of that. But then he became a whistleblower because he was really appalled. The longer he stayed in the CIA, the more he found out how crazy this was. I mean, here you are, you're oppressing, you're harassing, you're torturing U.S. citizens, and this is what's going on right now. This is why Obama called the Bioethics Commission in 2011, okay? He called this Bioethics Commission, but the bottom line was he didn't address it. Once he realized, or his administration realized how deep it was, he wanted to find out if there was any non-consensual experimentation or research going on in America. It was overwhelming, okay? It was so overwhelming. And Kenny, he and others, I didn't go because I had told them already that this, what's going on here, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything. It was just a matter of finding out how deep it was and what, if anybody was going to show up at the commission, and they did show up. At the time, they said there was like 600 people that wanted to speak, but they pared it down to just a handful of people, actually. And the bottom line is that the people that did speak, it was just, it was amazing of the injuries that was taking place, okay? Am I talking too fast, Pastor?
No, you go ahead. Keep moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, keep it moving. Okay, you have to clue me in to see how much more time I have because I got a lot of stuff here and I want to make sense.
You got 10 more minutes and it's over. Go talk to me.
Okay, well, here's the deal. Okay, you kind of wanted to know how it affects the families. Okay, let me give you my perspective, okay? First, they lock into you. They lock into your cortex with a resonance weapon, okay? To better explain a resonance weapon, is the simplest way would be to describe a radio station. Okay, you're broadcasting, okay, and from a radio station, and you're transmitting, okay? As you're transmitting, somebody on the other end is trying to lock in. Okay, and maybe this radio station, they want to find out their favorite radio station. Okay, so they're tuning, and all of a sudden they establish resonance, okay, on that radio station, and they have their favorite radio station. Well, this is basically what's going on here. See, they transmit and we receive. But you see, these crimes are going on now because of the fact of Janet Reno and then Deputy Secretary of Defense John Deutsch. Okay, they got together, the Justice Department and the Department of Defense got together, and they decided that they wanted to share these weapons with law enforcement from one end of the country to the other. Now, keep in mind that during the Reagan administration, he started this whole thing in 1981. He started weaponizing sheriff departments, local law enforcement, and state police in 1981. This is when he started this. Now, Janet Reno, years later, she comes along with Deputy Secretary of Defense John Deutsch. They signed a memorandum of understanding, okay? It's called Operations Other Than War and Law Enforcement. Now, I got to tell you right now that law enforcement has no business because there's no oversight, there's no accountability, there's no statute of limitations on the weapons that they have. The Nuremberg Code still applies. The crimes against humanity as far as the Rome Statute of International Criminal Court saying there's no statute of limitations on these crimes. Well, you got to keep in mind that the Department of Defense put out a directive, okay, and at the same time Reagan came in, they put out a directive. It was 5240-1-R, 5240-1-R, okay, and it was Chapter 13, which in essence said that no one, and I mean no one, is exempt from them targeting you or victimizing you with their technology. This is how bold these people are. They are so bold and so arrogant that they think that nobody's going to do anything about it. But now I go back to what Alex Jones and Joe Rogan said on Friday, okay? They're just now coming out with the cell tower thing. They're just now coming out with it. But you know, this has been talked about for a decade or better, okay, by, you know, the individuals that I know. They've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, and we're just now hearing it. They're just now addressing it, okay? So I have to ask the question, you know, is it too late? Is it too late? Because there's so many things going on right now. So many things going on right now that, I mean, we have, isn't that George Floyd or Sandra Bland or Brianna? I mean, these are horrific crimes that are taking place in the United States of America. And the bottom line is that it's coming. Much of it is coming from law enforcement. And they have this inner circle. They have this inner circle, to create plausible deniability. In other words, the NSA and the Justice Department and the DOD, they want to take the pointing of the finger at them and place it someplace else to create plausible deniability. Okay, because of the fact. Most of the sheriff departments are in remote locations, okay? I'm talking about the jail systems and things like that. And I'm trying to get ahead of myself here because I was hoping that I'd have a little bit more time so I could slow down. But the bottom line is that these are reprehensible, appalling crimes that are being committed by the sheriff departments, by local law enforcement, and it's been going on now for a long time. We have to keep in mind that these technologies are unbelievable. They are able to lock into your cortex, not just your visual cortex, but your auditory cortex. To put it bluntly, there's been like one lawsuit by John St. Clair Acquis. He got in there in a civil suit because he was a NSA analyst for the NSA. And he said in his lawsuit, without any contact with the subject, remote neural monitoring can map out electrical activity from the visual cortex of a subject's brain and show images from the subject's brain on a video monitor. NSA operatives see what the surveillance subject's eyes are seeing. Visual memory can also be seen. RNM can send images direct to the visual cortex, bypassing the eyes and optic nerves. NSA operatives can use this surreptitiously to put images into a surveillance subject's brain while they are in REM sleep or rapid eye movement. Okay, and they have placed these technologies in local county and state law enforcement, but more primarily sheriff departments, okay? They have no business with technology like this, with no oversight, no accountability, okay? And this is what's been going on in our nation. Keep in mind that these technologies, okay, are 65-plus years old. That's how old these technologies are, but they're very viable right now. They have taken these technologies in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different stages, okay, and increasing and increasing and increasing their control mechanism. And this COVID-19 is the same thing, okay? This is just one more thing, okay? Yes, it will kill you, but it won't kill you any different than H1N1, H1N2, H5N7, H7N9, or H3N2. These are all viruses, okay? And these are things that the victims like myself and others across the United States of America, we put this in a symptoms list in 207. Okay, we put shortness of breath and high fever and coughing in a symptoms list. And at the end of the symptoms list, it was the fourth stage, we mentioned syndrome. A syndrome is no more than a set of symptoms, okay, that correlate with a particular virus or disease. This is what's going on. What I'm trying to say is, especially for Black America, this is not just Black Lives Matter. All lives matter, okay? They've been using this stuff, sudden infant death syndrome. There's been talk about little babies, you know, not waking up in their cribs. All these things are serious, serious issues. Little children with brain tumors, okay? It's like a blister on the brain, but it's in an inoperable position. All these things are vicious. This 5G, you're going to see over time, is going to take people out left and right, okay? And it's appalling what's going on in our in the United States of America. They talk democracy. It's crazy. Okay. Now, as far as how it affects the family, haven't got enough fingers and toes of how many marriages, okay, have been broken up behind this technology. Imagine your wife, okay, coming to you and saying she's hearing voices. You know, now you know that there are things out there now, but before you knew about this, okay, you'd probably say, well, she's crazy. She might as well get a tinfoil hat. Well, we got tens of thousands of citizens across the United States of America, and they say, well, you know, you need a psychiatrist, you need a therapist, you need somebody, to see what's going on. The first thing they diagnose you as you got mental problems. You know, tens of thousands of Americans right now are complaining out there. They're protesting from one end of the country to the other, but yet we're all wearing tinfoil hats, okay? We as Americans have to stand up just like Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said it wasn't the strident clamor of the bad people, it's the appalling silence of the good people. The civil rights movement would have moved a lot quicker if more people got on the bandwagon, okay? And this is what's going on right now. Is it too late? I don't know. Only thing I know is that I've talked to physicists. I went to Washington, D.C. with one physicist by the name of Robert Duncan. Okay, I went with Ted Gunderson. He was there. Gloria Naylor, she was supposed to show up, but she was being targeted so hard that she couldn't do anything. You know, Gloria Naylor wrote The Women of Brewster's Place. She's a magnificent author. She died in 2016. I talked to her almost right up until her death, okay? She wrote in her book, I'm going to quote it for you right now, real quick. It says, most people who love their country don't trust their government. Even if you got them to conclude that the government has technology, their next question would be, how do you know that is what's happening to you? Your only response would be, I know it's happening because it's happening to me. I knew as I sat in front of the computer for hours that I wasn't crazy. I knew that I would never tell myself to commit suicide, that I would never call myself a bitch from morning to night. And if it wasn't doing it, who was, okay? And we used to talk about these things pretty much right up until she passed away. This is a serious issue. I mean, she wrote a book, 1996, by Gloria Naylor. It's only 128 pages. If she wasn't being targeted, she could write 128 pages in one day. That's who she was, okay? Also, in the addendum in the back, she used John St. Clair Acquis civil suit. Now, I think I mentioned the last time I talked to you that the civil suit, okay, was stopped by the 1947 National Security Act, okay? They knew that they did not want this information out. They did not want it out. And they stopped his lawsuit in its tracks. This is what's going on now, okay? One other thing I think I can get in before I'm cut off here is I also mentioned – mentioned that there was an individual by the name of Puharik. He was a researcher, a physicist, scientist back in the early 60s, and he studied the various frequencies, okay, that affect human beings. Okay, they all are affected some way because we are electrical beings. He found out that at 6.6 hertz, at an extremely low frequency, okay, it would cause depression. If they continue to direct that kind of energy at an individual, it would cause despondency and suicide, okay? We, I think it was right here in New York State, one of the counties had a 100% increase in suicides among youth, okay? That's how serious this is, okay? And Andrea Paharic also found out at 7.83 hertz at an extremely low frequency caused euphoria. Everything is fine. Family's good. Job's good. Everything is good. At 10.80 hertz at an extremely low frequency causes rage and riotous behavior. We got protesting. We got things going across the United States and, that it's just unfathomable. I mean, they're just tearing stuff up all the way across the United States. And it's not my guess. I'm not speculating. I just totally believe that this is all behind the scenes, just like the HAARP program. Everything is out to destroy God's creation, from human beings to the environment. I mean, fires in California. We got floods, okay, that can be caused by HAARP, okay, that high-frequency active auroral research project in Alaska. We have the HAARP program. We have all these vicious programs out there, chemtrails, that have these nanoparticles that we're ingesting. Our soil is polluted. Our water's polluted. Everything is being polluted. And you know, as a pastor, God says what he's going to do. He says he's going to destroy the destroyers of his creation. This is what it's about. It's in Scripture, okay? He also says in Ephesians, the second chapter, the second verse, that Satan, or the Satan as he's called in the Hebrew, okay, is the prince of the air. He hasn't changed from the book of Job right up to the present. He does not change. His mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. These weapons are satanic, okay? And we're not doing anything about them, Pastor. Not a thing. Nobody's doing anything about it.
You're right. And listen, I'm going to thank you so much. I'm going to get you back on here because I got some other things I want to ask. I'm sorry that we didn't, the call was dropped. I don't know what happened, but you did a magnificent job. I appreciate that. But on that note, we have just ran out of time, and I just want to say to everybody, I just want to tell the people that, we must stand up for what's right. We can no longer have people beating up on women and call themselves pastors. We can no longer have that. So I know those of you out there, I know you're going to be emailing me, want to know what you can do about that. Also, I want to make sure that you, Miss Johnson, Gregory Johnson, I want you to look her up and see how you can help her also. But look, we got to deal with these people that goes around thinking they're above the law. And those people, when you think about being attacked by our government, it's happening. It's factual. So we got to move to the next level. On that note, I just want to say to each and everybody, next week, same time, same station, and let's do what we can. And listen, there's a lot we can do, but we just have to want to do it. So let's do what we can and take this thing to a whole different level. All right, and I just want to say good night to everybody, and have a good day, and we'll talk very soon. Talk to you all soon.